listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donnie Hilton on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome all you regular listeners and somebody new today that's never listened before. We greet you and welcome you to our program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and we do a lot with the Jewish roots and the deep things of God that you might understand further what we want to find out about our Master Yeshua. And it's all about Him. It's not about us. So we greet you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks, our dear brother and sister over on Andros Island in the Bahamas, our sister church. We love them so much, and they're doing a great work for the Lord. So, you know, they're trying to get this roof put on their sanctuary. So if you're led to give them something, you can just make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and put their name on the bottom of it, the Temple of God, the Temple of God, and we'll make sure they get every dime of it. And we've had some people already stand up to the plate and give them some good offerings so they can finish up that building, and they got a work to do over there, and they need the facility to get it done the right way. And so we say hello to them. We let them know that we love them very much, and we are honored to be a part of them, and they're a part of us. So we thank you. Thank you for that, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God.
Who else do we want to talk about here? Anybody else?
Well, just Pastor Jane and myself today. Miss Margie's not with us today. She had a loss in her family. So
yes.
We keep her in prayer. Her sister passed away last week, and so we're just going to continue to lift her up in prayer.
And the whole family?
And the whole family. And so we're just thankful, though, that the Lord willing, this program is going out on the air and over the internet.
That's right.
And who knows where it's going around the world. So we just thank the Lord for WC and here in Palm City,
right,
Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, Palm City, Florida. So we do want to thank those who has been helping us with this radio broadcast. We're going to be teaching from Esther today and for the next couple of weeks, and
yep,
because Purim is coming up.
On the 21st of this month.
We'll be celebrating Purim.
Right.
So, you know, if you'd like to know more about Purim, you'd like to celebrate it with us, come and visit us. We have a Shabbat service every Saturday today at 2 p.m. at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida, and that's on 445 Osceola Street, right near the hospital. So, or you can give us a phone call. I'll give you the number in a few minutes. But we're really blessed to be here, and the Book of Esther tells so much.
So prophetic. People don't realize how prophetic it is.
God's not mentioned once in that book.
Not one time.
But He is everywhere.
He's on every single page. His signature's there.
And Yeshua is as well. Amen. And, you know, the wonderful Esther, who was named Hadassah, it's her Hebrew name.
Right.
But the name of the book in your Bible is called Esther. So I would say if you're at home, open up your Bible to the Book of Esther. And we'll just be blessed with that. And we just do want to thank the people, the family that gave Roscoe and Audrey quite a nice large some
offering, yeah,
for the
building,
the roof. You know,
right.
The roof is going to cost, we might be down to maybe $5,000, $4,000 more than we need. The last time we talked, maybe a couple months ago, it was $8,000, but now it's coming down.
Numbers are coming down.
As they are getting the money coming in, they're buying the things that they need. They really can't start on the roof until everything is there, you know, because you don't start on a roof and leave it halfway. You know, you got to have all the money, all those supplies. And so that's what our prayer is, that this roof will be on this year for sure. Amen.
That's right.
So I just want to thank the Lord also for the offerings for this program, if you'd like to, and those that have helped out and are helping out. And I pray continue to help out. It cost us $165 per radio broadcast for 1 hour. So we thank the Lord for that. For those who would like to give an offering, you can send a check to Spirit of Prophecy at Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida 34995. And I'm going to give our phone number, and I'll give it again as we get closer to the end of the program. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007. And while I mention, I just saw Pastor Gene pick up his book. You want to show the front of that book, Pastor Gene?
We haven't talked about that much lately.
Pastor Gene wrote this book several years ago.
Right.
Back in the 90s.
Yeah, early 90s, yeah.
And let me move it over a little bit more. There. That's called, that's how it says, called God's Prophetic Calendar, Prophetic Pictures of the Messiah. And he's going to be teaching from this book today about Esther. So, and there's many more other things in there. All the feasts of the Lord are in this book. The reason they're showing it, those who are listening, is that we are on Facebook Live. So if you'd like to watch us on Facebook Live or go back and look at Facebook, you can see this broadcast. Amen. So
you can purchase the book too.
You can buy the book. It's $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'd get it in a couple of days. Some people are using it, teaching it in the churches. You know, it's not a denominational teaching. Some people are teaching it at Baptist churches, just different churches. It's all about the feast of the Lord. Those who are wanting to know more about God's prophetic calendar. God's
right.
Calendar's in there as well, Pastor Gene.
That's it.
Amen. So you're going to get ready to start. And all the feasts of the Lord are in there.
Everything's there that you need to know.
Everything you need to know. The book about the book of Revelation and Daniel and charts and just so much I couldn't even begin to tell you about what all's in there. But why don't we go? Why don't you take this and give it a blast? Because this is these people on Facebook.
Yeah.
This is a real shofar.
Yeah, you that are on Facebook can see this. This is a real ram's horn that came from Israel. I got this the second time I went to Israel, and a gentleman over there was able to, because he had some beautiful ones at this hostel we stayed in. And I asked him if any of those were for sale. He said, no, but I'll get you one if I can. It took him a while, and so he sent me a note. And he was making a trip to Texas, and he brought it with him. And so I bought it, and he brought it over to the States and gave it to me. I had to pay for it, of course. But isn't it beautiful? This is a real ram's horn. This is what you'll hear on that day. Listen to the sound of this. I was a little rough on it.
A little rough there. Yeah. Face turning red.
I haven't blown it for a while, but it's incredible.
Oh,
that's
some
what.
People see the long ones. The
that's right.
Ones, that's a different kind.
That's a Yemenite one. It's a different kind of a shofar.
Those in Israel as well.
That's right.
All right, Pastor Jim.
So we're going to talk about Esther today. And Donna mentioned this book. This book I got in front of me is about at least 10 years, at least, or maybe more, years of study when I put this all together. And the Lord told me right up front that I don't want you to put anything in this book that you can't prove at least one more scripture to back it up. We don't want to take anything out of context, because we can take a text, and if we don't look at the whole context with before and after with the verses and all that, we can come up with a pretext. And that's what we have a lot in the church today. Pretext is instead of the facts. And so we're going to talk about this time called Esther. In fact, March the 21st is the beginning of the season called Purim. Well, why do they call it Purim? Because they cast Pur. Pur meant to cast lots to determine what month and all that the Persians were going to come in and attempt to destroy the Jews. But I want to do an introduction here. I was thinking about this morning. There's a lot of misnomers about who this Ahasuerus they were going to read about in the Bible. And, you know, Ahasuerus was a title of several kings. Not all the Persian kings were named Ahasuerus, but there were several of them. Just like all the pharaohs were called what? Pharaoh, but they all had different names. And if you look at Egyptian antiquity, you can find out what a lot of the what years those were, and you can find out what that pharaoh's real name was. So I just want to read this out of you, right out of my book. Now listen to this. The book of Esther is a graphic event which relates how God's people were preserved from destruction during the 6th century B.C. Hear that? 6th century. This book takes its name from the beautiful orphan Jewish woman who became the queen of the Persian king, Ahasuerus. This is generally believed to have been King Xerxes I, who was the son of Darius Hystaspes. But this could not be, for the events in the book of Esther had to take place much earlier than this if we look at it. And why? It is clear from Esther 2:5 through 7. You want to turn there, honey? Read 2:5 through 7. And I'll read this while she's turning there. Esther 2:5 through 7, that Mordecai was a cousin of Esther, and Nebuchadnezzar had taken that Mordecai captive with Jeconiah, king of Judah. This was 11 years before the final captivity of Judah and the destruction of Jerusalem. This is all revealed in 2 Kings 21, or 25, 1 through 25, verses 27 through 30, and Jeremiah 25, verse 1. So read Esther 2:5 through 7, honey.
Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, and the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away.
That's it. So he was there with them. And there's some scriptures also in Ezra and Nehemiah showing you that there was a Mordecai there. More likely, this was the man, okay? So let's go on with this now.
So we know he was a Benjamite.
He was a Benjamite.
And he also had Esther with him at that time.
That's right. He raised her from a young lady, and she happened
he
to be...
raised her as his child.
And she was his cousin, yeah.
Right.
If Mordecai, think now, if Mordecai was a young man, say 20 years old, at the time of his captivity, 11 years after the beginning of the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, which would be about 627 B.C., and King Xerxes reigned only from 485 to 465 B.C., this would make Mordecai 162 years old in the first year of Xerxes' reign as king, as we talked about, from 627 B.C. to 485, which is a total of 142 years. Then we add 20 years, which is Mordecai's age to it, and that would equal 162 years old. So that's how old Mordecai would be. He'd be too old. Esther would have also been an old woman by this time as well. So we got to set the players. And remember, Ahasuerus was a title. It wasn't a title of all of the kings of Persia at that particular time. So that's what we want you to know up front. And as I mentioned, Nehemiah's name is mentioned in Ezra 2:2 and also in Nehemiah 7:7. There were many Jews who did live through the entire 70 years of the captivity, and Mordecai seems to be one of them that did that. Hallelujah. And Ahasuerus' name means mighty or venerable king and was a title of certain Persian kings, as I said, but not all. These events in the book of Esther took place over a period of 10 years from beginning to end. It took 10 years for this to be fulfilled, starting in the third year of Ahasuerus' reign as king. Therefore, this king title Ahasuerus is none other than Darius of Daniel chapter 5. The fact that Mordecai and Queen Esther were Jews helps to explain much concerning King Cyrus, the son of Esther, and his zeal for the true God and his people, the Jews, as foretold in prophecy and recorded in history. Esther is a study in the survival of God's people in the middle of hostility. A man by the name of Haman, when we talk about the church, we go boo and we rattle noisemakers. The king's second in command, he was at that time, was once the Jews totally destroyed. He manipulates the king to call for their destruction. Esther is brought on the scene and used by God to save her people. Haman is hanged, and Mordecai, a leader to the Jews in the Persian Empire, becomes second in command, like a prime minister. Consequently, the Feast of Purim is then instituted to remember their deliverance from Haman. So we need to go at the beginning there, Pastor Donna. This just kind of sets the picture a little bit. We can find out about, they had a great big party in Shushan, the palace, for 7 days. And they drank and partied and all that. And so then King Ahasuerus wanted to have his wife come in and have her to display herself and to dance and all that before them. And she refused to do that. And we see here in verse 11 of chapter 1 of Esther, the king says, bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with a crown royal to show the people and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. And so then all his leaders in all the provinces thought, well, the queen has denied him, and that's going to be a pattern then from now on, that the women will be able to not defy their husbands and not be removed from their position. And so he decided, from these people speaking to him, to what? To remove her from being the queen. And then we have a beauty pageant comes, don't we, Pastor Don? Take it from there.
Glory to God.
Yeah. He has to pick all these women he wants to pick a queen from. And of course, we know God's hand was in it, right? Because who was chosen? Esther. Go ahead, honey.
Praise the Lord. Well, I wasn't planning on going on from here.
Okay.
I was thinking also, too, Pastor Gene was backing up a little bit in chapter 1.
Okay.
Where it talked about how, because we normally, every year that we have a Purim, we have a meal and we decorate the sanctuary.
Right.
And all the colors that they use, the royal colors.
Uh-huh.
And they have like this garden, because that garden was used mightily at the very end of this mm-hmm. book. So, but I don't want to blow the end of the book. But there was a beautiful garden. And I think about heaven and God's beauty when I read this over here, because it tells you the colors and the richness of it and everything about it. It says here, of course, this was in the third year. In verse 5 it says, and when the days were expired, the king made a feast. Well, I want to see where it talks about the different colors. Okay, I'll go ahead and read that. And to all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both to great and small. So everyone. Right. So I want us to think about, as we're going through here, the plans that God has for us as well.
Because that's right.
There are hidden mysteries and hidden truths that are in this book of Esther. Because God has a beautiful garden planned for us. You know, heaven is like a beautiful garden.
That's right.
Where the flowers don't die. And I've heard people talk about dreams, how they look down in the flower and they see like gold. They're living. Everything is living. Nothing dies up there, you know. The grass doesn't die and fade away. It says here that these are for both great and small. So there were a lot of different kinds of different people. 7 days.
7 days. Here's our number seven.
The court in the garden of the king's palace, where there were white and green and blue and hangings and fastened with cords of fine linen and purple and silver rings and pillars of marble, and beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. Can you imagine that?
That's right.
The beauty of that, you know. And, Esther, or Hadassah was her name. From what I remember, Mordecai, told her, saying, give your name as Esther, so you will hide your identity. So there's an identity that's hidden as we go through this. There's an identity that's hidden. And she does, and so they come and they take all these women that they're looking to find a new wife for the king.
Uh-huh.
And of course they do all these things, these beauty, what we would call beauty treatments, she is very humble, and she keeps her identity a secret. But Mordecai, he's like a picture of what we need now. It's a lot of praying people.
That's right.
He was praying in front of the palace in sackcloth and ashes. And,
doing things he wasn't supposed to do, but he did it anyhow, didn't he?
You're not supposed to go in front of the palace.
That's right.
Like that. It's irreverent. And he was laying on the ground, and he was praying. And he was there every day. He didn't
crying out.
Once in a while. Mm-hmm. He was there every day. and praying and watching over Hadassah or Esther, you might say, and also even talking to her from time to time, I'm sure. And, you know, she listened to him. She listened to him and she was obedient. And because she stayed humble and she was obedient, you know, she's a picture of, who's she a picture of? Hadassah.
Hadassah. Queen Hadassah. She's a picture of the Messiah.
The Messiah. Right.
Right.
Who had a, she had a calling on her life.
She sure did.
And, you know, people have a calling on their life. We all have a calling on our life. And so she had a calling on her life, and she was obedient to that calling and very humble.
That's right. She was.
Now, I think about Vashti, the queen that refused to come and dance before all those drunken party. You know, I mean, that to me, that was a, I wouldn't want to do that either, you know?
No. Nope. Who knows what they did in those days,
right,
yeah.
So, and she probably knew that she was going to be, they would get rid of her, you know, because she was disobedient to what the king wanted. And so they were going to make an example of her because she didn't. Well, they were saying, well, all the other women won't obey their husband, you know.
That's right.
So she, but to me, you know, she did the right thing, even though. But God had a purpose because he was moving her out to move somebody else in, and he wanted to move a Jewish person in.
That's right. For a reason, yes.
If we look way into the future, there we know about, this is probably jumping way ahead.
Well, we remember this book took 10 years for this to be completely done.
Right. We know that she had a son, and the name of her son is in the Bible.
That's right.
And so that's kind of jumping way ahead. But, you know, God has all these plans, and he knows when it's time for someone to be born, and he knows when it's time for someone to take that place. And she was to step up and to just be obedient. She was very young. And take that place as the queen.
And it wasn't necessarily that Vashti did anything wrong. She just refused to come in there and prayed around. And who knows what they did with women in those days, okay? And she refused to go. And so she had to pay the consequences of that. She lost her queenship. But it doesn't mean that she was wrong. I think what she did was right, because also it was God's purpose for a reason. Because like Donna said, he wanted to get a queen in there that was going to be Jewish. And of course, we know that Mordecai told Esther, don't ever tell anybody what your nationality is. And they kept that a secret.
Amen.
So if we go into chapter 2 here now of Esther, look at verse 5. It says, now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Now, if we look at this and go back in 1 Samuel 9, we'll find out that he was related to King Saul, okay? And then we go to verse 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, and she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. And he raised her as his daughter and taught her the right things and all that. And then we go to verse 10. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her, because she was one of the women that was selected of this entourage of women that the king had to investigate. And they all had a night with these. He had a night with these women to find the one he wanted. Some of you might have seen the movie several years ago, One Night with the King. It was about Esther. It's a pretty good movie, but a lot of things were added to that movie that's not in the book here. Excuse me. Now, verse 12 says, now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, they went through all this treatment, and aloes and all the stuff put on her to make them smell good and all, for 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, or to know, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors. She must have smelled really good, and with other things for the purifying of the women. And so she had to do that, didn't she? And then, of course, Esther had her day to come with the king for that night, didn't she? Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
So let's go on down now. Verse 15, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. She didn't wear a bunch of fancy stuff, not a bunch of fancy jewelry. She came in just like she was.
The glory of her being was
that's
her,
right.
You know, and so that was what probably attracted her to the king. And so she came in. I think she was a simple, you know,
sure.
simple
person,
and pure. And that simple purity is what draws people. That's just like Christ. He was pure, mm-hmm. and he didn't make big shows of anything. Everything he did was right and truth. And she wanted to do things right.
All the time.
And she wanted to follow what Mordecai had told her to do. Amen?
That's right. Now we go down to verse 16. So Esther was taken unto the king, Ahasuerus, into his house, royal, in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. The 7 keeps coming up all the time. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. You know, that must have taken some time, Pastor Donna, for him to see all those women and spend a night with them. That's why this book, I guess, partly, it took 10 years from beginning to end. It must have taken a long time for him to spend a night with all those women. Now, verse 18, then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king of Ahasuerus. We're going to find out these two men wanted to kill the king, okay? And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified or informed the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Now, chapter 3 is going to give us some history about this family that Mordecai came out of. Chapter 3, verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman. Here is this wicked Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. So he was an Agagite, revealed back in 1 Samuel 15, 3 through 9, and advanced him and set his seat upon all the princes that were with him. Now remember when King Saul went to the Amalekites, he was to kill them all, right? Well, he didn't do that. He kept the best of the herd, and he didn't kill the king. He was told to kill the king. And because of disobedience here, it was like 577 years that this group of people was a thorn in the side of Israel because of what Saul did. But we find out in this book that it's going to be finalized in this book. Amen.
Now, you were talking about the length of time she had waited.
Right.
We can actually figure it out because this banquet was held in the 3rd year of his reign.
Okay.
It tells us that in chapter 1, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just read over here in chapter 16.
Verse 16.
Verse 16, right, that it was a month of Tebeth, and it was in the 7th year of his reign. So we're looking at 4 years. 4 years of the 1 year of preparation,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, then close to 4 years there when she became queen.
That's right.
Because she became queen in the 7th
mm-hmm.
year of his reign.
So it took a while, didn't it?
It took a while.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't happen overnight.
That's right. So this is interesting that this curse that was upon Israel and King Saul because he did not obey what God said. And this went on for years and years and years with the Agagites.
And you mentioned also that 7. I have the 7s down in here.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of
things sevens.
That happened on the 7th mm-hmm. day or the 7th year. 7th chamberlain, 7th day. There's so many things that happened. 7. I think the maidens were 7 for her, and the 7th year of his reign. You know, 7 is a number of what?
Completion.
completion.
Right.
And so we're coming close to that completion here now, even now, as we watch what's happening in our nation, and we watch about the things that are being revealed.
That's right.
But, you know, he had another banquet, it says in verse 18.
Sure.
The king made a great feast unto all the princesses and his servants, even Esther.
Esther's feast now.
That's why it's called Esther's feast.
Esther's feast.
Feast of Purim.
Right.
And he made a release to the providences and gave gifts. Now, everyone gives gifts at Hanukkah.
Right.
So Hanukkah really wasn't a time of giving of gifts, but Purim is a time of giving gifts.
That's right.
And so we give gifts, and there's it's a joyful time, and because, you know, God, they won a battle. Well, we can win a battle, too. We have the sword of the Lord, but they actually were told to go out and to do something. So they didn't just sit back and do nothing, just like in Nehemiah's day. They had to have, they were working, and they had to work. They were working.
Had a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other, didn't they?
Same
weapon.
As this. God allowed, I'm kind of jumping ahead, but God allowed them to win the battle, the Jewish
right.
people to win the battle against who knows the number of people they were against, you know, because
right.
everyone wanted to kill him, and nothing has changed, has it?
Nope.
People now, even the talk on the television now with this woman about the Jewish people,
That's right.
We have to keep our eye on Israel.
We better.
That is our timepiece. That is our clock. That's where we watch and we see what happens. And my prayer is, you guys out there, please pray that this abortion situation will come to an end in Israel. See, it's legal in Israel, that it will come to an end, and they will make a stand, a righteous stand.
That's right.
And perhaps it will affect the United States of America as well, and our president, because our president comes against this abortion, killing of children, sacrificing to Moloch. Anyways, they gave gifts according to the state of the king. And so this was a holiday. It was a holiday.
We'll find that at the end of the book. They declared 2 days to make it Purim. The last time I went to Israel by myself with another gentleman, we were there during Purim, and it was interesting to see how they celebrated it all in that day. But let's go on here. Now think about this. From a human perspective, Esther and Mordecai were two of the most unlikely people to be chosen by God to play these major roles in shaping the Jewish nation. You and I are also very important in God's program and plan, and I hope you all realize that we're all called, appointed, and anointed. We have an unction to function, and God expects us to carry out what He's given us. We may think it's not anything at all, but in God's eyes, it's very important. So they had the same thing. Mordecai was a Benjamite; he was in exile. Esther was his adopted orphan cousin. Donna read that in Esther 2:7. But Esther's spiritual maturity is seen in her knowing to wait for God's timing, not her own, to make her request to save her people and to denounce this man named Haman that was out to kill the Jewish people. Mordecai also demonstrates a maturity to seek God for timing and direction. As a result of this, he knew the right time for Esther to reveal her identity as a Jew. This maturity on their part was divinely controlled by God and proved to be crucial and to testify to the book's spiritual base. As we mentioned, God's name is never mentioned one time in this book. However, God's sovereign hand and purpose throughout the book reveals His love and care for His people, the nation of Israel, and we better never turn from them. They are the apple of His eye, and when we mess around with Israel, we're like we're poking God in the eye. We better stand for Him. Finally, both Esther and Mordecai feared God and not men. You hear that? They feared God and not men. Because remember, Esther's going to go before the king without being invited. And if you weren't invited and you walked in, you'd be a dead person. But he raised that scepter up and she was able to come in because she found favor with God. Regardless of the consequences, Mordecai refused to pay homage to Haman. He wanted him to bow to him, remember? And he refused to do that. Esther risked her life for the sake of her people by going to the king without permission. Both of them had a mission, always to save the lives that the enemy planned to destroy.
Amen. Well, there's a little story here at the end of chapter 2.
Go right ahead, honey.
About Esther and Mordecai. You know, they were a team.
They sure were.
And Pastor Gene and I are a team.
We're going to talk about that.
Anybody who's married in ministry, I would consider them a team.
You're a team.
We work together.
That's right.
Together in agreement. Marriage is a team.
That's right.
a family is a team, isn't
Absolutely.
It? There's all kinds of teams. You got baseball teams, basketball teams. A family is a team.
Right.
I think about a team with like a family. You know, when they're all eating different places, that's where's the team at? They're not together. They're supposed to be around the table, right?
That's right.
Jesus drew his disciples around the table, and they ate and they talked. But anyways, all over here in chapter 2, at the tail end of it, in verse 20, it says, Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai. She obeyed her father, like as when she was brought up with him
yes.
as a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she continued to obey him. And in these, this what I want to show you here is, see, the king really didn't have great discernment.
Nope.
No, but Mordecai had good discernment and wisdom, and so did Esther. So here it says, because they helped, they worked as a team to help save the king's life. And I'm reminded of a dream Pastor Gene had just this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're called to be intercessors to save the life of our president.
That's right.
I believe. That's what his dream was about the president, and it really shook him up. But anyways, in verse 21, it says, in those days, while Mordecai sat at the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains,
Bigthan
and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth.
They were angry, in other words.
They were mad at the king, and they sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. So they wanted to kill him. They wanted to lay hands on him. How many people want to lay hands on our president?
That's right.
Want to kill him? Many. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther, the queen. So Mordecai was always listening and watching. He was a watchman, wasn't he?
Sure was.
He was a watchman out there, and we're to be watchmen, and not just watchmen and watch women and watch children. Everybody wants to change all the, you know, words around. If you say man, well, that means mankind, doesn't it?
Watch That's right.
It's a mankind.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody wants to change things, just like they want to change all these Bibles. Anyway, so Esther he told Esther, the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. So,
or he informed the king, is what it tells you, yeah.
Right, and it was even written in the Chronicles, it tells us.
That's right.
And when the inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, these two guys, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king.
And in the future, this is going to be a very key thing that just happened here, in the future part of the beginning, later in the book.
Right, so this is very important, because this information was written in the Chronicles, but they hadn't done anything to
honor Mordecai.
You know, and Mordecai wasn't looking for being honored. He wasn't looking for anything big to happen to him. He didn't expect a ring to be put on his finger or anything like that. No, he was just protecting the queen's husband.
That's right.
Protecting the king, and she was able to give this information so that these two men were, it was stopped. What was going to happen to the king was stopped. And so then we know that after this, we're going to go into chapter 3, I imagine, because to see the king, he even set somebody else over his area, his kingdom.
He was second in command, Haman.
Haman, and he put the devil there.
Sorry.
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically, you could say he put the devil in charge, you know, of so many things. And this Haman, knowing the history of Haman's history and his 10 sons.
That's right.
The time had come that they were going to go ahead and destroy the Jews. Not just a few of them. They wanted to destroy all the Jews that were in Shushan. So, and probably beyond as well. And have things really changed a lot? There are people that still hate the Jewish people.
That's right. They sure do.
Destroy them.
Anti-Semitism strong.
It's not going to happen.
Nope.
And we can see how God is blessing Israel and bringing people to Israel. Not only the Jews are coming home, but many, many people are going to, that would be your heart to go to Jerusalem. Amen.
That's right.
I went one time, Pastor Gene's been twice to Israel. And, you know, I would go tomorrow if I had the opportunity to go tomorrow. And I would even move there, you know.
Safest place in the world you could be,
America.
Yeah.
I love America.
Yeah.
But, you know, Israel, Jerusalem is going to be our home. That's going to be
it's our future home.
Amen. That's where the kingdom is going to be set up, and Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years.
Could we say something about this team ministry? Remember, the result of what Esther and Mordecai did, they led the nation of Israel into freedom. They also were exalted and honored by the king and given greater authority, privileges, and responsibility. Now, the Lord gave me an acronym years ago about TEAM, T-E-A-M. Together, everyone accomplishes more. One of the essential issues revealed in the book of Esther is to show us from the lives of Esther and Mordecai a classic example of what? Successful teamwork, team ministry. And I want you to notice that there's no letter I in the word team. It's not I, me, or myself. Team, together, everyone accomplishes more. Now, I got a couple things here I wrote in my book I thought would be interesting to share here at the beginning of this teaching. We got a couple weeks to cover all this. The first thing, their relationship with each other, Mordecai and Esther, portrays unity that Yeshua prayed for his disciples to experience in John chapter 17. If you haven't read that, you need to read that. The success of each of their individual roles, even their survival, depended entirely upon their unity with each other. We'll see this as we go. This unity must be experienced today in the body of Messiah for the church to accomplish God's purposes on the earth. Team ministry is the vital ingredient for the church to bring the lost to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, the Messiah. The Messiah's desire, yet there will be one new man, Jew and Gentile, working together in unity to accomplish God's purposes for this world we live in. Therefore, we must be like-minded, walking together in faith, doctrinally sound, and above reproach. We must walk together, and we must raise the standard in the kingdom of God. We must walk together, as the prophet Amos proclaimed. Remember, he said, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" Esther also shows how God destroys those who try to harm his people. From this, we are reminded that God is faithful to his people and faithful to destroy Satan, Hasatan, so that God's sovereign purposes will ultimately prevail. Queen Esther herself reveals many attributes of Yeshua. We mentioned a while ago, the queen represents what? She's a pattern of the Messiah. Listen to this, in several ways. Even her Persian name, Esther, her name, means a star, and she is a type and shadow of Yeshua. Even as our Lord is called the bright morning star in Revelation 2, verse 28, and verse 22 and 16, 2 Peter 1, 19. She lived in submission, dependence, and obedience to her God-given authorities of Mordecai and her husband, King Ahasuerus, even as our Lord Yeshua did during his earthly ministry. He lived in total submission, dependence, and obedience to his father. Esther also fully identified herself with her people and fasted for 3 days and 3 nights as she interceded to God on her people's behalf. This is also mentioned in Hebrews 2:17. Tells us that it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and a faithful priest in the things pertaining to God, referring to Yeshua. As such, Yeshua both fasted and prayed for his own people. Esther also gave up her right to live in order to save her nation from certain death. For this sacrifice, she was exalted by the king. In like manner, Yeshua gave up his life so that a world of sinners might be saved from eternal death and was highly exalted by God the Father, as it talks about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Very important, Pastor Don, all this.
Amen.
Team ministry.
17 of the book of John.
That's right.
It talks about one in many places there. That one word, one, in, I believe it's
Ikad
in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. So it says, verse 22, it says, that, and the glory, Jesus is speaking, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, Ikad,
right.
Even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world... This is why, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So here they are, this two, they're one. And so because they were one, they were able to work together in unity, and they were able to fulfill the destiny of what was to happen to the Jewish people on that day.
That's right.
And had they not working together, you know, there's a place one time where Esther says, "If I die, I die." You know,
that's right.
And there's a place there in Esther where Mordecai tells her, you know, you were called for such a time as this.
And if she wouldn't do it, then God would raise up somebody else to do it.
He always will raise up somebody else.
That's right.
So, you know, we're called for such a time as this. You know, maybe you wouldn't want to be born now, you know, or would rather have been born in some other time. But, you know, everyone who's born is born at a certain time because God has a purpose and a destination for us.
That's right. So this is an amazing picture what God shows with this about us. And we see what's going on in Washington now. We got this Muslim lady, and she's an anti-Semite, and she's making it quite clear, and they're kind of pacifying the rest of Congress and all. Well, how did she ever get elected to start with? Why would the American people put somebody in office like that wants to have Sharia law and do the things that they're wanting to do at this particular time? And their whole purpose is what? World domination. That's what they want. And so we have to have some people that will stand up. And we have all those Christians supposedly around in Washington that claim to know God and they can't keep his commandments. They pass laws that are contrary and are abominations to God with abortion, same-sex marriage. We could go on and on. And so here we are. Why are we doing this? We need someone to stand up. We need an Esther and a Mordecai to stand up. And so I think President Trump right now is in a place of being like a Mordecai. And his wife has been very instrumental also, speaking up with things as well. So we have a couple there that's doing some things that's never been done before. And that's why the news media and everyone that's not a Republican hates them with everything they have. They hate the whole family. And yet they've done so many good things, you know. And so this is what we got to think about. And this man Haman in the book of Esther, you know, the Jews hadn't done anything wrong. They were just there and they were doing what the king told them to do. And they weren't causing any problem. But Haman got mad because Mordecai would not bow to him when he walked by. He refused to bow to anybody but God. The people in Washington have to realize they must not bow to Baal, to the sinful things and the things the devil wants. They have to stand up for God. But you see, we have God's been taken entirely out of the equation. No longer do they want God. They don't want him. I remember last when they were having the campaign and all, and the Democrats' convention and all that, they even asked him about having God in a certain situation. And they said, "We don't want God." And they voted it down. They didn't want God. Well, see, without God, this country is in major, major difficulty and trouble. And we're going the wrong way. And if it doesn't change, something's going to happen. You know, most kingdoms lasted about 200 to 250 years, and they fell. We talked about that last week. We're like the Roman Empire. They were never actually officially conquered by an army, but they imploded internally. And what happened? They lost everything. You know, they had a Senate. They had eagles. They had flags. They had all the stuff that we have, that we've copied. And we're just like them, doing the same. They had homosexuality in those days. They did all this stuff. And so here we are, following along with what happened in the past. But Yeshua came to what? To make the captives free and bring them out of prison. And we need some people to stand up in Washington. We haven't heard anybody there that I've heard yet, except Trump, when he speaks once in a while, will stand up and mention anything about God. You know, they say, "God bless America." Well, what does that mean? God bless America. What does that mean? That we want God to have his way. Well, the only way we're going to have it the way God wants is if we obey his commandments. If we don't, we won't have it his way, and then judgment's going to come. And I believe this country's lined up right now for some
major
judgment, and there's going to be some temporal judgments that's going to come that's going to affect people in this country because of the doubt and unbelief. And we got all these young people out here raising all the trouble and all the things we see going on, fussing over stuff that don't amount to anything. Why don't they talk about on the news the important things? You know, they're wanting to run down this thing about putting up a fence. Well, we need a fence. All other nations have a fence. Israel has a fence. They need a fence to keep these people out. But we want to let them all in. And what's going to happen? We let all those birds, wicked birds of prey, will come into America, like it says in Revelation chapter 17. And what will it do? It will destroy this land. It will destroy and corrupt this land.
It's happening.
It's happening in great ways.
Whole neighborhoods are changing
sure
to Sharia law neighborhoods. And I heard one about one, and I believe it's in West Virginia. They're building a whole neighborhood for them, these people that they brought in. And what do they get $400 for a child. They get vehicles. Yep. They get all the medical. And to what happens to the white and the black people? Do they get them in America? No, they don't. And supposedly they're moving them out of the neighborhood and building all these brand new places for them to dwell. Well, this has happened all over. It happened in Dearborn, Michigan many years ago. And so it's a takeover. But what is our government wanting to? Why are we're giving it away?
That's right.
We're giving our nation away.
We're giving it away.
Our neighborhoods away.
We certainly are.
And we need to pray. We need to be that watchman and on the wall. And we need to stand with Israel. And we need to stand with our president. You know, all these people that are coming against our president. And we talked about Haman. He was one person, right? But he had 10 sons.
That's right.
Well, I want to tell
Boy.
You, there's just not one enemy that's come into our nation. There's many.
That's right.
There's many. And their purpose is to conquer us, to conquer this nation. It only takes like 10% of a certain group, and they'll take over. So
right.
Why don't the Christians rise up and be that 10% that's going to stand for righteousness, not like the Hillsong Church pastor it's been on Facebook talking about abortion and things like that, and for it, you know, we have to stand for righteousness, and it's not happening. It's not happening in many of the churches in America.
And so we see with Esther and Mordecai, they stood for the truth, and so the truth won out, didn't it? It won out regardless of what Haman said or anything. And Donna talked about Haman. He had 10 sons. It's a picture of the 10 confederation group will be there at the end, the coalition of nations. You know, at the end, they're going to all be destroyed. And so Haman's a picture of who? Of Hasatan, Satan himself, what he wanted to do. He came to destroy the Jewish people. We got people in this land right now that want to destroy America. They want to change our whole perspective. They want us to go to socialism and all these other things that they're talking about. Instead, you know, we were supposed to be a republic, right? We're really not. We're supposed to be a republic. We sing that song. The people, when they sing that song, they ought to listen to the words to that song, you know. We're really not a democracy. We're supposed to be a republic. And we've drifted away from a lot of things. And so the warnings here, as we see this, even with these two people, they stood up and they saved the entire nation of Israel. Thank God we have President Trump and his wife in office now. They will speak about God and stand up for the truth. And this is what we need to have in this day and this hour. And we're going to have to keep praying, because you look at the news every night and it's nothing but bad news. There's nothing good on there. And it's amazing. And, you know, they hate Trump with everything that they have, but they don't look at what he's done in these 2 years he's been in office. There's a list after list of things that he's accomplished that he said he would do. You know, all the presidents for the last 40 years talked about moving our embassy in Jerusalem, or from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, was never done. But he did it immediately, and they all got mad, didn't they? He talked about the fence, you know, the wall. Well, years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, they were all for a wall, all those presidents, but they never did anything about it. Finally, a man came to do something about it. Well, see, they hate him because they don't want his name on the wall that they thought about it from way back. They want their name on it and not his. And this is what we have. So we need all these things in place, and if we don't, this country's going to go down the tubes. So this is a cry. We're crying out like Mordecai and Esther. Help, Lord. We need your help. We got to do it your way. We can't do it man's way. So we're about ready to close here. I want to share something real quick here, and we can go on with this next week. I want to go over to Philippians chapter 2, because we want to give people an opportunity to know that without Christ, we have nothing. We have no...
Going there, I just want to mention, if you'd like to give an offering for this radio broadcast...
Yes.
We certainly would appreciate it to this person to be on this air on the air for how many years? 20, almost 22 years?
Or almost, so yeah.
Yes, and it's $165 per week. So if you'd like to help out with that, we certainly would appreciate it.
Yes.
You can give us a call.
Let me read this, because, you know, without Christ, we have no hope in this life for the one to come. Somebody's listening right now that just happened to stop on the dial. Never thought about this in a deep way. I'm going to read something to you out of the book of Philippians in the Bible, chapter 2, starting in verse 6. And this is talking about our Messiah, Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it was not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself. That's what we need to do in this country. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now listen to this. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, just like he did Mordecai and Esther in their day, for standing up for the truth, and giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. It covers everything. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's where we want all of you that are listening today, if you're tuned in, if you've never done that, it's the most important decision you'll make in your entire life. Nothing is more important to have that peace in your heart, knowing that you have the Messiah. You could die today. Where would you go if you died today? Would you go to a place called hell, or would you go to glory with the Father and His Son? You have a choice. The choice is always yours. Like it says in Deuteronomy, when God told all the commandments to Israel, He said, I'm sitting before you today, life and death. He says, you choose. Do you want to choose life, or do you want to choose death? Well, they chose death in a lot of areas, didn't we? Well, the way we escape death is how? By asking the Messiah to come in, to realize that we need Him more than, if we've sinned one time, we need a Savior. And His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is our Messiah. He's our Savior, our Redeemer. He's the one and only. So if you haven't done that today, we're asking you to just ask the Lord, where am I at? What would happen if I dropped dead today? Where would I be in a tick of the clock? Where would I be? Where would I go? The choice is yours where you go. So we ask you to do that. If you made the decision for the Lord today, give us a call at area code 772-285-7007 and let us share with you. Let us pray with you. Or you can call the radio station at 221-1100. And the people here, Pastor Jonathan, Karen, and all of them, will pray for you and give you encouragement, because you're making the greatest decision you'll ever make. So we're pleading with you. God's pleading from heaven. He wants you to come. He's not willing that one would perish. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the Lord, and to come to that place to have that forgiveness. So we thank you for that, Lord.
Amen. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton with Raising the Standard every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. And we'd like to say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest. And Pastor Gene will blow this wonderful.
I got time to blow it here today.
Shofar again. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what you'll hear when the trumpet blows and we all get caught away. So hopefully you'll know Jesus, yeah. So you will be caught away. Amen.
Amen. So next week we're going to talk about Haman and all the plot. And boy, we'll see some things in that will open our eyes even today.
And we'll see where there's some Hamans still
hanging around today.
Hanging around our country today.
That's right. Lots of them. Amen.
So you have a blessed day. We have service today at 2 p.m. if you'd like to come. Shabbat service at 2 p.m. at the Alliance Church here in Stuart, Florida.
So as we close this program every week, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh, and we say, Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.